My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first-timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change-ups, the cast won't break up. Even with that million-dollar contract, show up a stand-up guy who's a stand-up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher A. Lambert, recording this edition on Sunday, March 24th, 2024. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Give this show, in particular, a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you would like to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival and subscribe. It's $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 710. There's no guests. It's just me. Sitting here in my apartment, ready to give you another high-quality podcast, whether you like it or not. I hope this podcast finds you doing well, in good spirits, getting you, helping to aid you through your day, and all of that good stuff. Late Sunday afternoon, my apologies for those who like to get the show at 12:01. I totally understand. I'm a little late. And also my apologies for the mix-up, the episode mix-up last week. Nobody said anything except the good homie J.L. Covan, a good friend and fellow podcaster, who said, "Hey, Chris, looking at your episode description, I thought you were going to talk about Kirk Cousins. You're talking about the Magical Negro movie with your girlfriend." And I said, "Oh, shit. I must have double-uploaded." So I double-uploaded the Patreon episode, and maybe 100 or so of you got listened to that one, and you got a sneak peek of what it was like on behind the paywall. And my apologies, but I thought that was a good episode, so I had to repost it. I was exhausted last week. Full disclosure, I drove down to Maryland to do something, help out my mom with something, and then drove right back, which I do not recommend. Probably shouldn't have done that. Probably should have just taken a nap and came back Saturday morning instead of going back the day that I came. But so it goes, and you live and you learn, especially when you're in your early, am I still in my early 40s if I'm 44? You get mid-40s when you're 45. Let's just say early 40s. Let's just say that. So I should not have done that. I was exhausted. Soft launched the girlfriend on the main feed. She already got launched on the Patreon. But that episode, it's been corrected. So those of you that want to listen, I think it was a good episode. I reacted to the Oscars. Talked about other good stuff too. So I hope you go back and listen to that. I know that sometimes I know people that like the hundreds of people that like this show, when like four or five of you talk, like message me or say something about the show, they say, "You know, I listen to all these other podcasts," and then I just wait a few months and then I binge you. And I'm like, it's fine. You don't have to tell me about all the other shows that you like that are more popular, it's totally fine. You can just, you can tell them that. You can tell them, you can tell the people that you like better than this show. That's fine. It's fine. But I know some people may not have gotten to it yet, so it is what it is. And when you get to it, I hope you enjoy it. I thought it was a good episode. Patreon folks, you will get something else from me soon, since the freeloaders on this main feed got a taste of what you all get behind the paywall. So I will rectify that, and I'll fucking take care of it. I'll take care of it, all right? This week was pretty good. TPS reports going down pretty solid, holding steady. Currently, the 76ers versus the Clippers, that's going on my iPad. I'm loving this app. I'm loving that. What is it? It's on YouTube. I'm loving the NBA package. I enjoy it whenever I get a chance. I know it's March Madness. I just don't really care anymore. I've enjoyed the women's basketball. I did watch Iowa and Holy Cross yesterday. That was a blowout. I did tweet that I was like, Holy Cross is staying with them for a little bit. And they didn't. They got their ass beat. But initially they did. I just looked to see race war in the women's Final Four. That's all that I'm really all that I'm hoping for. Now I hope that the teams that are supposed to do well, they do. You know what? Whoever wins. Be nice to see Caitlin Clark go up against South Carolina or LSU again. I don't know what's going to happen as I'm recording this, but I did see, and then I did watch Connecticut. I watched Paige Beckers. They beat up some 16 seed, I think, or some low seed. I watched those two games yesterday. But the men's, I don't know. I don't really know. I feel like I know a little more about the, well, I know more about the women's players than I do the men's. I don't know. I don't. So you're not going to get any basketball updates from me. I think it'll be fun, maybe fun to watch while I'm this weekend. I'm at the Borgata, March 29th through the 31st. I'll be down there. Three shows, Friday and Saturday. Shows are at 9. Easter Sunday, the show's at 7. They have an MGM sports book restaurant / betting spot there. That was pretty fun to watch while the tournament was on last year. So I might try to watch some of the games there. I did bet, I think a year or two ago. They made fun of me. Do you bet it on women's college bet? I bet against. I don't know why I bet it against Dawn Staley. I don't know. You know what? They were playing Connecticut, and I was rooting for Connecticut. And I think Dawn Staley and them had already won. But that was my bad. I bet against a black woman. And I hope I don't get canceled because I did that. Just know that I was rooting for Paige Beckers. I don't know how to rectify that. She's woke. Paige Beckers is woke. So I guess it works a little bit. Anyway, the women's game is fun. They were really fun last year. And this year too, it's been pretty good. Other comedy shows, I'll be around. Some dates are forthcoming. I'm waiting to hear back, but Borgata this weekend. I'll be in Pittsfield, Mass. On May 4th, and in between, whenever I'm doing something, I'll tweet it out or put it on Instagram or something, whatever. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about some stuff and things. Quiet on the Set, the IDTV / Max documentary series, four episodes about kids on Nickelodeon and the writers being sexually harassed, kids being molested. That was a lot. That was pretty heavy. It made me think, man, I am glad that I was not a child actor. That shit was heavy, man. And I was a Nickelodeon fan when I was a kid. I used to watch, but it was early. I'm considered to be Generation X. I was born in 1980, right at the cutoff. And when I was growing up, I remember you can't do that on television. And as I was getting into junior high, you can't do that on television, Double Dare, Today's Special, a bunch of other shows. But then right around junior high, fifth, sixth grade, seventh, eighth grade, I started watching Doug. That was out. I like Doug more than Rugrats. Rugrats was all right, but like when it gets to the stuff that they were talking about and all that, I remember that too. The early version with Kenan and Kel. I vaguely remember Amanda Bynes and her show. I remember she had a show. I just remember seeing some of her movies that were good, that she was very good in. The last thing I remember seeing her in was Easy A, which would have been maybe like, which may have been like 2010 or 11. 2010. Yeah, I remember that because I remember I had one of my first road gigs in Rhode Island at the Providence Mall or something in Rhode Island. And before the gig, I remember going to see Easy A. I talked about briefly when I was talking about Emma Stone's Oscar win a couple weeks ago. And right around that time, you know, when I was in junior high, I was just starting to, I wasn't watching that kind of, it was kid stuff. And I wasn't watching that stuff. But I do remember, when I was teaching in Chicago, like suburban Chicago and Skokie, one of my all-time favorite jobs, the kids that I was, so that was like 2000, that would have been 2003. And these kids were watching those shows like Zoe 101 or iCarly, Drake and Josh. And I guess maybe All That, there was a version of that that was still on because some of the kids that they interviewed were on All That. And I was like, I never heard of this kid before. But I remember how like they were showing how one of the kids was, he was Noseboy or something. And then he had noses on his costume, but they looked like dicks. They looked like brown dicks on him and shit. And that was fucking weird. And then a lot of the jokes on the show were really weird and about like just like bodily fluids coming out and splatting on girls' faces that were young. And it was just like, damn, because you look at it as an adult, it's just like, holy shit. Like the only thing that when I was a kid, it was a slime. When you'd watch You Can't Do That on Television, You Can't Do That on Television was a Canadian variety show that I believe Alanis Morissette got her start on that show, if I'm not mistaken. And if a character said, I don't know, then they'd get slimed. But yeah, I do recommend it. It just, and then the Drake Bell story was really disturbing about him getting molested by this guy who was a voice, a dialogue acting coach, Brian, I believe it's Brian Peck. You'll see it. You'll watch it. It was just really, it was heavy. And it made me think, thank God, I was like, man, I don't, I saw a lot online, a lot of people, there are a lot of people that were victim blaming the kids too, and blaming the parents. And I don't know. I think it's the person who did the act, the person who committed these crimes. It's their fault. The parents are putting their trust into these kids. Now, there were some parents that spoke up, and then their kid got kicked off the show. There was a black woman. She spoke up about her son, you know, some of the stuff that was going on and how she felt her son was being treated. The next year, her son wasn't asked back. And there was resentment. I guess it seemed like there was resentment between the son and his mom, but he avoided that stuff. It's kind of a dark joke to say that you look at it, they didn't seem like they were attracted to the black kids on the show. So they didn't really get the brunt of the sexual abuse and assault. There's inferences to Amanda Bynes and her relationship with Dan Schneider, who was the creator of those shows, a lot of those shows, and he was the big boss. But he was essentially the Harvey Weinstein of Nickelodeon in a lot of ways. And I had read Jeanette McCurdy's book. The audio book. She told her story to me in audiobook form. I'm glad my mom died, and she talked about being a child star, the verbal abuse that she went, probably some physical abuse that she had with her mom, who died of cancer, and then the things that she experienced working under Dan Schneider. It was so bad, she didn't even mention his name. She just called him the creator. And it's really good. It's really good. It's a good read. I guess if you like reading, or you just want to hear someone's memoir, I recommended it last year, but I'll recommend it again. It provides even more context from just, you know, one person's story. The episode 3 of Quiet on Set talked about Drake Bell and his experience working for Nickelodeon and experiencing that abuse under Brian Peck. It's really it's very eye-opening, and it's always, there's something that this an acting teacher, theater business teacher, that I had, the late great Jane Alderman, who was out of Chicago. She did a little bit of Broadway. She is noted for giving, I think she was noted for giving Vince Vaughn and maybe John Favreau a break in Rudy, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. She also helped cast Love Jones. She said to our class one time, she said, you know, never really be jealous of anybody's career, because you don't know what they did to get to where they got. And I don't think she was necessarily referring to just out and out sexual abuse or casting couch stuff. But she said, it's, you never know what some of these people are doing, because there's really, show business just got an HR, and I'm doing air quotes, just got an HR in like 2016, 2017. And then they had to do this like cleansing of all these people that were shitty to people, or the sexual assault, or, you know, the Weinsteins, all these people. And it just kind of makes me think about the R. Kelly stuff. You think that this person is a celebrity and they're not going to do anything, or just because they're good at something, they all have their flaws. And just the way that people covered up for these folks, about the people that, when Brian Peck was, I guess when he was about to be released from prison, I'm not trying to remember what it was, but you'll see it. people wrote letters in defense of him, saying like, these celebrities, people that we would know, we've seen on TV, we've seen their work, we've watched their shows, and how you can watch this documentary and hear these stories from these people, these writers, the way women were treated in the writing room. Two women had to split a salary because they really didn't want to pay women. Just you hear these stories, and there's people that would say, with the case, in the case of Brian Peck, he must have really been tempted. Like, he must have really been tempted by, you know, Drake Bell's, you know, to be his 15-year-old Drake Bell. The grooming that they did, it's pretty freaking wild. But I recommended it. I was hanging out with my girlfriend, and she was like, oh, I want to watch. She doesn't have HBO or Max or whatever. And she said, I want to watch it. I was like, on a Friday night, this is what you... And I put it on because I had watched it already. And it was, it's not the best Friday night viewing, but it is what it is. But how far would you go to get what you want? And I thankfully, and you see all the comedians, the black comedians beefing with each other online. And if somebody's got this, they must have did so-and-so to such-and-such to get a part. If you did more than three movies, you've had gay sex. If you're a man and all that stuff, a lot of that's like bullshit and jealousy and stuff. But I don't know, man. I sometimes I wonder about this business, and I just think I can look myself in the mirror and say, you know, I did not have to go through any of this stuff. Because that's what people think of you anyway. That's what people will think. People who are ignorant and people who don't know the business, they think these things about you anyway. There's people in my family that thought that I was gay, or might think that I'm gay, because I'm in show business, because I like acting, because I like, because of my career path. Or what I've chosen to do. They would. I remember one time. I'll give you two instances, and if I can think of another one, I'll give it to you. I used to work at, most of you that have listened to this show for the over 10 years now. Wow. Oh boy, what have I been doing with my life for the ten years I've been doing this podcast? If you've listened for long enough, you know that I used to work at Best Buy in Chicago on North and Clybourne when I was in grad school. And I worked in the DVD video game section. And there was a guy who I think was probably gay. And I was helping him with something. And we were just talking, shooting the shit, talking, helping him with movies and giving him recommendations or whatever. And then he's, oh, what do you do? I said, oh, I'm an actor. I'm in grad school. And he brought up something along the lines of, well, you know, you have to get on the casting couch or your people are gay. I think he was trying to hit on me in a weird way. Or maybe this guy just didn't have enough game to get with me. But he was just trying to. I think he was trying to feel me out in a way to see like if I was like gay or something. And I said, no, I'm not. He said, you know, people that do acting and stuff, they're gay, or people say, they do gay stuff. And I was like, oh no. I said, I'm not, no, sir. I'm not gay. If I was just gay, I would just be gay. And then be doing plays or whatever and acting. I don't know. That was weird. And another weird thing was I was at home, and I think I was home for just visiting my parents at the time, and I ran into a neighbor. I was outside, and she's, "Oh, hey, Chris, how you doing?" "Oh, I'm good. I'm like, I'm in Chicago. I'm, you know, doing theater. I have a job and stuff, just working." And she was like, "Oh, you know, I have a cousin that's in The Lion King, and he's gay." And I was like, "Oh, all right, good for him." Like, just trying to, I guess she was kind of like, "And you? And you, Chris? Are you gay?" I don't know, man. I think it's just ignorance. And yeah, are gay people in show business? Are a lot of gay people in show? Yeah, they are. But there's straight people there too. I don't know the numbers, but it's not anything that I had to like fight. I know who I am. I know what I like. But it was just weird. That's part of it too. That's part of the journey. Or if you're not dating anybody, if you're single, like they think you're gay. Own your own family. That happened. I think my mom told me something about that recently. And I was just like, "Oh, that person just doesn't know." And I don't care what that person thinks. And a lot of people in my family, that there's a lot of people I don't really have relationships with anyway. And it's mostly on them. It's on the stuff that they've done. I haven't done anything. And I don't know if I'm like a, I don't know if that I'm a black sheep or anything, but, or whatever, but this was the path that I chose. People are going to say what they want. There's a friend of the podcast that was talking about that on his page. I'm not going to mention who he is, but he would just say that because he was doing what he was doing, his family, and he's not gay. He's got married and has kids, but he was like, your own family will try to shit on you and say that you're doing things that you're not doing. He said one of his family members thought that he was in rehab, and he's not. And he wasn't. I never knew the guy to be on drugs. He's like a clean, just a normal dude. I don't know. I'm kind of rambling about this stuff, but I think I'm just going to speak. I just remember I had I'm trying to think of like how to say it. I went to Catholic school, and when I had cousins that were 2 years older than me. We went to the same high school. And so when I was in seventh grade, they were going into ninth. They were going into their freshman year. I remember my cousin who was older. She said to us one time, we were all hanging out at their house. And she was telling my cousins to watch yourself, watch those boys. What they'll be trying to touch you, watch them priests. And I never really wanted to be an altar boy, I think, because of that. I don't know if it was because of that conversation or I just never really had aspirations to do that. I just didn't. And I think I just was aware of that stuff that would happen with the Catholic Church and like the kids getting molested. I don't know. I don't remember if my parents ever really said much about that, but I was always around them, or they were always, I was a protected kid. I never, and I was having that conversation with someone recently about how just like, yeah, my parents would have never let me do X, Y, and Z or anything like that. I never really, but I remember that conversation almost vividly, where she was joking, but she was serious about not letting those priests touch you, not letting any boys touch you or anything like that. And that just always stuck with me. And I was probably, I would have been 13 going on 14, and just being aware of that stuff. Just being like, I was never like really comfortable in the locker room, like just taking clothes off at gym class. It was just, it was just kind of, just wasn't my thing. I mean, I was clean and stuff, don't get me wrong, but you know, gym, it was just, I was just hyper, I don't know if I was that hyper aware of it, to be honest. But I just think about those times where people like, And then that was a thing, like being in the theater, like, Chris, you like theater. Don't let nobody touch you. And it's not like, and I don't think I ever was like, you don't fucking touch. But I was just like, yo, like nobody, and nobody ever really did. I don't remember anybody doing anything. But I would be aware of what those, I would be just kind of on guard until I didn't have to be anymore. But I don't think a lot of those kids knew about that, or they got manipulated, and I would never victim blame, but yeah, like, I don't know. And then if you speak out against these people, then you don't have a career. And then some of these people were the thrust in these positions where they're the breadwinners for their family, bringing their family out of poverty. And if you spoke up, that could all end. So you're fucked either way. It's just, it's really something. And I see people online trying to, you know, get likes or gain some kind of social currency for speaking out after a documentary. Like, trying to, I hate that shit. It's so, so bad. But it's just like these kids, like, they ruin these kids' lives. And it's just like, man, is this shit even worth it? I think about that sometimes. But I think you have to have, it's something that I'm working on. You have to have a life. You really do have to have a life outside of the business to complete yourself. And I think about that all the time. There's people that are successful that take themselves out. This business attracts all types of people. Weirdos, especially. But then the people that have success, they're still troubled. And you're just like, well, fuck, man. I got into this because it was one of the things I was able to cultivate that I got better at, that I was thought that I was good at, and I kept getting, I don't know that I talked about it this much on the show, but just thinking about, like, I always say that my first inkling that I could really do something with it was maybe when I was about 14 years old in eighth grade. And I think I talked about this recently. I was in The Sound of Music. I did well in the play. It was a predominantly white school. My dad had told me how the black parents were really proud of me. And I think I talked about this recently. And that's when I was like, okay, maybe I could cultivate or whatever. Got to high school, still tried to play basketball and baseball, was not good, got cut. I probably might have had a chance at baseball. I could hit a little bit, but ultimately, no. And then I remember seeing this girl that I liked who was really cute, a guy that was in the musical in junior high was doing a scene with her and was her, she was his girlfriend, and I was jealous. I'm like, I'm going to audition next time. And I played her dad. I played her father in that show, in my, the show that I actually got cast in. But when I was in high school, I had three directors in 4 years. So there was nothing, there was not like, oh, I was already locked in for a part. So there were three people that were in charge of the theater department that I had to prove myself against every year. So that was something that told me, okay, you're good at this. This is something that you could do, possibly. And I think I would have loved an opportunity to be on. Yeah, I would have loved to be on like a Dawson's Creek or one of those like teen shows, or play a kid role in a TV show or film. I would have loved that. I think it's because, one, my parents, I had older parents. So my dad was about, my dad was like, what, 30? Dad would have been like 38 when I was born. My mom was like, might have been 36, something like that. They were in their 30s, mid to late 30s when I was born. And I grew up with older parents. So I think I was more grounded than a normal kid to a certain degree. I think I was. I was protected. Were they strict? Maybe a little more than most, maybe. But I think overall I was a good kid. So I wasn't really going to do anything that crazy. I would always think about the trouble I'd get into if I did fuck up. So I think maybe I would have been okay if something had happened and I was a kid who, I don't even, wouldn't even think a child star. I probably just would have been a working actor. I probably would not have had a day job or something. My life probably would have been totally different, but I like my life. I do. But I just want, I don't know. Like you think about that stuff. It's really, it's just really sad. It's just really sad. Those kids they're just ruined. And you think about a talent like Amanda Bynes. She did not, I guess those producers, those filmmakers did reach out to her. I read, and she didn't want to do it. They inferred that there might have been a relationship with Dan Snyder. Like they talk about, oh, she'd go in the room and do that, take notes with him, and everybody else would be working on something else. They had private sessions with him. There was a scene on one of the shows where he was in the hot tub with her. He was fully clothed, but if he was just in the, it's just fucking weird. And really, the homie Rick Younger was talking about it. He said, thank God it wasn't you. Just like, you know, I'm gonna find it, and I'm gonna play it. The homie Rick Younger was talking about it, and it was good. I remember. I'm gonna look for this jump. I did not know that I was going to talk about this, so just give me a moment. I will play. Oh gosh darn it. Let's go to the profile. Let me see. I just want to make sure. Yeah, let me go to this real quick. Hold on. I'll play it for you.
All right, the last few days I've seen a lot of people talking about the docuseries Quiet on Set about Nickelodeon and Dan Schneider. And I tried not to watch, but I got drawn in. And oh my goodness, such traumatic stuff. But one of the things that I keep seeing is, and I see people making comments, it's a lot of victim blaming and blaming of, you know, of parents about what, you know, I can't believe they let this happen. And it's like, what you have to understand is that people who do these types of things, the people that have this pathological behavior that would harm children, sad to say, they are very skilled at manipulation. So those of us who think that it wouldn't happen to us, we should actually be saying, I am so thankful that that has never happened to me, that no one has ever been able to have access to my child. Also, you need to watch what you're saying, because you have no idea what people around you have experienced. Because all of these stories, the children that it happened to, they didn't share with their parents until after these things happened. They didn't say things along the way. The point being is that you have no clue how deceptive these people can be. And that be careful with your judgment of other people who go through these things. Try to have a little more sympathy and understand that it could happen to you. But by the grace of God, it was not you.
Yeah, and that's real right there. Shout out to Rick Younger for saying that. We got to get him back on the show. Yeah, but it's heartbreaking. It's sad. I hope if you watch it, just know that shit is fucked up. Especially when you get to episode 3, it all just kind of, it's just like, oh, oof, it's a lot. I can't even say on a lighter note, other TV I watched was Homicide on Netflix. It's Homicide New York. It's produced by Dick Wolf, so it's basically real life Law and Order. There's about five episodes, and they talk about these real cases, and the detectives break stuff down. It's really good. I did like it. For somebody that likes detectives shows, scripted, directed detective shows and stuff like that, it's really good how they get these bad guys. Sometimes cops are good. Wow. I'm turning into a Republican. I am voting for Joe Biden, okay? I'm not going to be the black man who, during an election year, is telling you to don't vote for Biden because he's old. Or I'm not going to have Candace Owens on this show. I am not going to. Yeah, I'm just not going to do that. I'm going to do what my parents did when I was a kid. I'm going to vote for my best interest and the best interest of people who not only look like me, but who are in some of the same financial situations that I'm in and the people that look like me are in. And because I care about the progression of this country, I'm not the most politically savvy person. I'm not going to be able to tell you numbers and things like that, but I'm a salt of the earth kind of guy. I'm black. I'm going to do with what a lot of black people that have done, black people before me have done, vote for the betterment of this country and who's going to at least keep this shit on track. And I think Joe Biden's going to do that. That's what he's been doing. I'm not going to vote for who I think is cool because they're a lot of other people are voting for him. I'm not going to try to take votes away from what we've known for the longest time, that there's two political parties, and any vote that's not for Joe Biden is a vote against this country. Sorry. That's what it is. Because for some reason, with all of his crimes, Donald Trump is still a candidate. So anyway, let's see. So Homicide on Netflix, I recommend. I watched a few episodes. I'm going to talk about a movie and then some Muzak stuff, and then we'll wrap it up. All right, so I saw Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. I was not excited to see it after hearing friends talk about it and just You know, I kind of had to kill time on Friday, and another movie that I wasn't, that I really wanted to see. It wasn't playing at the time that I needed to see it. So I did see it today. I'll talk about that on Patreon, but I saw it. Let me read the blurb. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, directed by Gil Keenan. It'll send a chill down your spine. The Spengler family returns to where it all started, the iconic New York City firehouse, to team up with the original Ghostbusters, who developed a top-secret research lab to take out busting ghosts to the next level. But when the discovery of an ancient artifact unleashes an evil force, Ghostbusters new and old must join forces to protect their home and save the world from a second ice age. This stars Paul Rudd, Carrie Coon, Finn Wolfhard, McKenna Grace, Kumail Nanjiani, Patton Oswalt, Ernie Hudson, and Annie Potts, Dan Aykroyd, and Bill Murray. I was entertained by this movie, and I noticed, like, you know, like going in, you know, it's just like, I was just like, okay, this is really a kid's movie. And I think sometimes when adults get really, I find adults getting really angry, then there's kind of this revisionist history. I don't remember that much about the second one, except the Bobby Brown song On Our Own, which was amazing. I remember the song more than the movie. The first one I remember the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man it was good for, when did that first movie come out? Like 84? The original one, maybe? Ghostbusters, 1984, yeah. It was great. I was a kid, I had the toys. Amazing. Fantastic. But the revisionist history is that 2 wasn't that good. People hated the lady Ghostbusters. The third, the one that they did prior to this, it was fine. Like, I got emotional watching that. That was 2021. My uncle died. Then my dad died 8 months later. But my dad wasn't dead when I saw this movie. But I think he was kind of on his way out. I kind of knew it, but nobody said anything. So I did get emotional with the one that came out last year. And I thought it was fine. I just thought this was fine. And when I saw it, I was entertained. I thought that Kumail Nanjiani stole a lot of his scenes that he was in. He was funny. The comics were funny. Like, Patton Oswalt was funny. Kumail did his thing. I thought the movie was fine. It's not something that I feel like if you're a fan of the franchise, go see it. It is, we're slowly getting into like the fun part. Obviously the most wonderful time of the year for me is the fall. You have people that are gunning for these trophies, and that's when they kind of save the firepower. But there's also a lot of great stuff that I'm excited about. Obviously, I'll get to that later. But I just said to myself, you know, this is for kids. They're going to sell toys of the little Stay Puft Marshmallow Men that really don't have. I think I remember the guys on, oh my God, Double Toasted were saying, yeah, they're just trying to sell toys. They're trying to sell the toys of that. They're the minions, basically what they were saying. I'm sure there's toys at Target you can buy. Slimer's there. Yeah, it's just like all this nostalgia stuff. They really gotta, I don't know, man. It's a little too much with this nostalgia, man. I thought Paul Rudd was funny. It's fine. If you go to this movie and you see it and it's just, if you have a family, I think you'll have a good time. It's fine. There was a weird ghost thing that was like, I'm not going to spoil that for you. I'll let you I'll let you guys see that. I don't want to spoil anything because it is new, a new big Hollywood movie. And maybe if Tim comes on the show, he's seen it. When he comes back, maybe we'll talk about, maybe it'll come up and we'll talk about it then. But it's fine. It's fine. 3 stars I gave it. I was entertained. Let's talk about music a little bit. The Future and Metro Boomin came out with the project. What is it called? It's called We Don't Trust You. They have a song called Like That, which features Kendrick Lamar. And apparently Kendrick went at Drake and J. Cole. And the internet's been in a frenzy. Over less than a minute, rhyme from Kendrick. I listened to the song. I was like, okay, all right. Well, now we got to see what the response is going to be. I don't know how much. I don't know that I care. I think all three of them are really talented. I think Drake is talented. I know people make fun of him and stuff, but it says a lot for you as an artist when you're Canadian. You're a child, a former. I always said Drake's career is like if AC Slater, if Mario Lopez from Saved by the Bell, who played AC Slater, wanted to rap. That's what it would be if it was an American version of that. And I think Drake's held it down for over 10 years. He's been a star. He's a megastar. He is really talented. I don't think he's making music for me. I can listen to a song that he's done and I can say, he's good. He's good at this rap thing. Just not for me. I think there's records that he's done that I've liked. And when he first came out, I thought it was the first time I heard of him was the thing that was the Houston, Atlanta, Vegas was on. Oh my God. Drake. What is the name of that? That's so bad. I should know that. He had some records. He had a record with Little Brother. What is that first? Thank Me. No. Thank Me Later is the studio album. Thank Me Later is like the first. Where is that? Where's that mixtape? I don't even know Room for Improvement. See? Come back. So Far Gone is the first thing I heard. Then I went back to, I don't even remember Room for Improvement. I don't remember that. I remember Comeback Season. What's the record with Little Brother? Think Good Thoughts. That's with Fonte. Don't You Have a Man with Dwelle and Little Brother. Yeah, that's what I remember that. I think I remember those two songs before because maybe Fonte and Little Brother did records with them. So that's how I knew. But then, like, I just remember being a fan of, like, Two Dope Boys and some of these blogs, music, hip-hop blogs, and people were like, oh my God, So Far Gone is coming out and it's just going to be, it's, oh my God, oh my God. And oh my God, this guy's coming in to drop a verse. They delayed it a little bit because I think Trey Songz had to do a verse for something. Yeah, I remember that. And they, you know, so he's been doing it for a long time. He's really talented. It's hard for me to just kind of hate on these guys. And sometimes the shit's funny when people, some of the stuff people say, but it's like, the dude's talented. J. Cole, very, very talented. I think that's the verse that he did is the first person shooter verse was the one that everybody went crazy about, I think. Because I remember it getting sent to me in a chat, people were going crazy, and it was a really good verse. But to me, my opinion, and I think that's why there's hundreds of you that listen, you want to know what I think. I think Kendrick's better. There's something about Kendrick that just kind of comes off as just that he's the better of the three. But it's very clear that these three MCs are the top of their generation. Although I would argue a little bit for Sky Zoo, even though he's not as famous. And he's a little older, too. But I think he's still in that generation. I mean, I'd put really, of this recent generation, the past... Well, no, okay, this Sky Zoo put out his first album in 2009, I want to say. I consider him to be a part of this generation, so really, Kendrick and Sky Zoo, as far as the, to me, are the best. As far as like, yeah. And if you really think about it, I don't think these songs are as good as that they're talking about. Not as good as Glory Glory, Fontaine and Little Brother. That's me. I'm gonna go with the older guys. That I just love that Glory Glory record. I'm sorry to be an old head. Fontaine, Big Pooh, Dope Sick, I author like Beth Macy, Penmanship to drive critics and crowds crazy. What are you serious, Big Pooh? What? But you know, what do I know? I'm just a guy in his apartment, spewing his thoughts into a microphone. But I think out of those three, Kendrick is the best, I would say. He takes some time away. Puts out a very good album. Steps away for a bit. Comes back to let you know he can still do it. And then I'm sure he'll come back with something else. But yeah, he's the one that I've paid attention to the most out of those three. What else did I want to say? Yeah, I think that's all I have to say about that. We'll see what happens. We'll see what else happens with this. We'll see if there's a response. But I did listen to that first person shooter again. That's pretty good. I want to say there might have been another J. Cole song that was pretty hot. J. Cole's great, but I was trying to think of one. It's one where he was in the video. He was like sitting in the rafters or something. He was sitting down and he was rapping. I don't know. I don't know. I don't keep up with this shit. I do want to say though, late Friday, I got a text from friend of the podcast, Veronica, Dr. P, Veronica Paredes. And she hit me up to let me know that she said an Oxnard legend died this week, Cola Boy. And then she sent me a picture. So she sent me a video of one of his songs that he had. Songs called Penny Girl. And I looked at the video and I was like, oh my God, this guy was great. Why'd you hide him from me, Dr. P? And just found out he passed away. He was 34. He passed away. This article from Pitchfork was published on March 18th. So he passed away. Right after same. So he passed away last weekend. And he was a pop singer and songwriter. He was an activist. He's from. It's Ventura County from around the way from Veronica, Dr. P. And I listened to the song. I said, okay, kind of reminds me a little bit of like some early Toro y Moi. Not Causes of This, but maybe Underneath the Pine, Toro y Moi, a little bit of Chromeo, a little bit of Tuxedo, like that funky new millennial funk, and like a lot of cool and fun dance jams. And man, it's sad. He was only 34, and his birth name was Matthew Joseph Urango, and let me just read this thing, okay? Matthew Joseph Urango, known professionally as Cola Boy, was an American musician and activist based in Oxnard, California. His debut EP, Black Boogie Neon, was released in 2018. His debut album, Prosthetic Boombox, was released in 2021. Urango toured and collaborated with MGMT. His music has been described as belonging to the disco genre. Enemy compared his sound to a disco ball melting or the after effects of some particularly potent hallucinogenics. Just kind of funk for me. All right. Well, he was born with spina bifida, kyphosis, something with his back, and scoliosis. And he had a club foot. Man, the son of a white mother and father of a Chumash African American and Mexican ancestry. He described himself as Afro Latino. He had a non-disabled twin brother. Let me read this. I'll just read the rest of this little. A native of Ventura County, California, Urango said that he basically taught himself to play piano at his grandmother's house as a child. In high school, he played punk bands, playing his first backyard show age 17. After graduating from high school, he searched for work but experienced discrimination due to his disability. He was employed for a time at Walmart until he was hospitalized with pneumonia due to being pushed to overwork by his employer. I know Walmart's known to do that before, because I used to work there. Before Cola Boy, Urango played second guitar for the indie pop band Sea Lions. So I listened to this, his album, Prosthetic Boombox, just on the way to the movies today, and I was just like, man, he was good. He had some shit. And every time an artist passed, no matter how famous or whatever, he left something behind, and he left that music behind. No matter how he looked, he made beautiful music. Whatever people, you know, what people would say about him and try to discriminate and this and that. And yeah, man, RIP to Cola Boy, and shame on Dr. P for hiding him from me. I didn't know about this dude. I probably would have gone to see him if he was performing in New York, because he's got good shit. I was vibing out to it, driving early on Sunday morning, riding around. Yeah, man. So RIP to that man, and prayers up to his family. Man, it just fucking sucks. All right. I think that's it. I think that I have blabbed enough today for you all. And I think that I reckon I'll talk to you all next time. Take it easy, everybody.